You are listening to the Pencil and Paper Podcast Network.
Christmas, siblings. If you are listening on the day of its release, it is Christmas Day.
Yes. Happy Monday Christmas edition.
This is the first time that we've actually dropped an episode on Christmas.
You're welcome. I know you're sitting around going, man, I wish we had something other than the Christmas music to listen to. Well, for a little bit, now you do.
That's right. And we decided that we had time and we were going to just finish out the year with all of you.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are, our final episode of the year on Christmas Day. And if you want to listen to us today, great. If you've waited a few days, I don't think that we're going to be doing anything that you just have to listen today. I mean, it'd be grateful if you did.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm not going to hold it against you if you,
right.
you were kind of busy with, you know, other things going yeah. on.
And hopefully you enjoyed your Monday, however mm-hmm. you spent it.
In fact, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. If you want to have this playing off in the background, mm-hmm. I will ensure that there is video for you to be running it on your TV of some sort, not just our logo or what have you. So
mm-hmm.
this might be a fun one too, like our Rudolph episode. Mm-hmm. So you might want to go check out the video.
Sure. Yeah.
Just saying.
Should we keep our expletives to nothing then, just in case? If you're offering to have it in the background, kids could be around.
That is true. Okay.
That's true. We'll be good today.
We'll be
on Christ's birthday. We'll be good.
Or whatever, winter solstice.
I know. Yeah, his birthday would have been like a long time ago, guys. But whatever. Like months. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, we just want to be cold while we do it.
Right. So today, I thought this would be a quick little discussion that we could have,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that I truly enjoy,
mm-hmm.
and that is a Garfield Christmas special. Now,
yeah.
I debated a lot about what I wanted to talk about today, like what thing, because I thought about certain Christmas movies, mm-hmm. you know, but I felt like if I could find something that maybe is not as familiar to mm-hmm. a lot of people, because for me, this is a staple.
Sure.
Okay. There are so many other things that I could probably bring up right now that to me are a staple. Like I have to watch it this year. 20 minutes of my time.
Right.
Just yeah, etched out long. For something quick. And I love it, you know, and I could be wrong. Everybody mm-hmm. in the world may still watch this. It's just as regularly as I do, but I feel like considering its age, I have mm-hmm. to kind of keep these things in perspective where just because I remember it doesn't yeah. mean anybody else does.
Sure. Can't catch everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I've worked it in my brain to where I'm the opposite of those people who, like, if you came up to me and you were talking about, like, oh, yeah, I used to listen to Dean Martin records and stuff like that, and be like, what do you know about Dean Martin? You're only like 30.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, what the does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
sorry.
we already broke our first rule. Well, sorry, guys. Hopefully you didn't have it on in the background yet.
I'll put an edit over it.
How about that? We'll have a fun, like, yeah. bloop.
Yeah. I'll make a jingle bell or something.
Whatever for like the Charlie Brown.
Hey, that's, yeah, that would be a good reference.
They had their own Christmas special too. Yeah.
But, I assume if I know it, you know uh-huh. it.
Yeah.
You know?
I've fallen into those traps myself, though, where I'm like, how the hell have I heard of something that you haven't heard of? You know? Like,
yeah.
How does that even happen? I don't know.
And I guess I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, when my ex-wife told me that she had no idea what Star Wars was when we first started talking, I was like, who are you? And
where did you come
what
from?
What planet did you come from?
Yeah. yeah. How it's have like you not at least knows. Heard it in passing? Yeah, mm-hmm. like it's a big deal. It never right. stopped being a big deal. We're still making them.
Amazing, right?
Right?
So If you have heard of this, great. Hopefully you'll just be along for the ride. If you haven't, hopefully I can point you in a direction of where to find it. I believe, and I might be wrong about this, but I'm almost positive it was on Amazon Prime at one point as part of a, there was like a Garfield, it almost looked like it was part of a show, but it was like Garfield special. So they had everything from Thanksgiving, Christmas, other, whatever other specials that there were.
I think it's on Peacock right now.
Oh, even better. Great.
I just looked it up to see, and yeah, it's showing right here. Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
23 minutes, a Garfield Christmas special from 1987. There you go. Hell, if you got Peacock, yes, go watch it.
Hell yes.
There you
okay,
go.
Fantastic.
Ooh, so, I might go watch this later on now.
Yeah. There please. You go. Yeah. Like I said, 20 minutes of your time. It's just like you're just watching an episode of a sitcom or something.
Right.
So you said you are kind of familiar with this, or at least
yes,
you...
I know I've seen it. Not enough that it's solidified in my brain, like beat for beat what the show was about, but or you know, I feel like it was just, you know, the Arbuckle family, Garfield doing their thing, you know, family, love, whatever themes we want to pretend like Christmas is always about, but you know, heartwarming moments.
Right. Now, were you, did you watch Garfield regularly, like the Garfield and Friends or any of the specials?
Not regularly, but I did watch it. Yeah. Okay. Like it wasn't a consistent thing, but like if I saw it on as a kid, I'd sit down.
Sure.
You know, like, I read the comic strips more than I ever watched the shows on TV.
Yeah. No, same. I mean, me and my brother, we were like Saturday morning cartoon fanatics. So Garfield and Friends was actually one of our go-tos. And what's funny about it is I know we watched it religiously, I guess, you know, because I think it was like 9 a.m. our time when it came on.
Okay.
And we would always, like, there were certain ones that we would record. So we'd have, like, tapes full of Saturday morning cartoons, different shows that we loved. And you even had to make concessions at some point because there were, I remember there was one time, I think, when they did the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show on ABC. Then there was another show on CBS, and Bugs Bunny and Tweety would go on for 1 hour.
Okay.
And then there was another show on CBS. It would start at like 10:30. So we're like, well, we've got to cut this off at 10 or 10:30 to go to the other show.
Yeah.
So I guess we're only getting 30 minutes of Looney Tunes cartoons, but we got to go to this other thing. So we've got to figure this out because this is chaos.
Yeah.
We can't have this.
All over the place.
But yeah, Garfield and Friends was one of those that was definitely a staple. I remember watching, there are certain episodes I know that are ingrained in my head. Like I know them because we recorded them and we watched them so much. I know them by heart.
Sure.
And when I couldn't find them, because you can find them on Tubi.
Okay.
You have to do the commercial thing. There might be other places you can find, but that's where I found
it. But at least that's free, right?
Tubi? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just watching like you used to with commercials. But there were certain episodes I couldn't find. Like, I know for a fact, you know, I was sitting there just like racking my brain. I was like, I know for a fact there was an episode like this. I know that there was this episode. Where is this episode? And I was thumbing through it and I was just like, this is making me mad. And
like, I didn't make this up, did I? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I have a false memory from my childhood. We probably have several, but.
But come to find out, they just didn't have them on there. So, but this one. I think this actually was one of the few specials that came out prior to there actually being a cartoon on Saturday morning, because there were other specials. I don't remember. I know there was like Halloween, Thanksgiving, maybe a few others. The only other one that I genuinely remember, like
for Garfield, right?
Yeah, for Garfield. Yeah. As much as I do this one, is there was one where he went. I think it was called Garfield in Paradise, and I think they went to Hawaii. And while they were there, everything falls apart because, you know, John, everything always falls apart for John.
Yeah,
poor schmuck.
Rough life.
And they get stuck in a crummy hotel. They get a crummy rental car. And the guy is like the swindler, some guy like that. And they eventually make their way into this town where their car breaks down. But they meet like this local tribe. I don't know what they're called, who they're called, whatever. But that guy who had that radio voice talk like this all the time. You know, hey, man, I'm like Wolfman Jack.
Oh,
that's wasn't that his name? I'm
maybe.
The Wolfman. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the wolf man. I think he was the guy who was like the head of the village or whatever.
Okay.
And there was a volcano, and they said that they had to, there was some legend, some ridiculous legend, some guy that looked like James Dean who drove a pink Cadillac into the volcano to subside.
What is this from? Like, this is starting to sound familiar. Is this Garfield?
Yeah, this is a Garfield in Paradise.
Maybe I saw that one, because the more you talk, the more this is sounding familiar to me.
And there was, the girl that they were going to send into the volcano was, like, the chief's daughter or whatever. And, of course, John falls for her. And then it's suddenly like, oh, I've got to go do this. He's like, no, you can't. I'm just so crazy about you. And she's like, no, but I must. Uh-huh. And the volcano wants nothing to do with her. Volcano wants the car.
Well, smart volcano, right?
Just a very interesting special, but that's the only other one I can remember as well as this one. But the Garfield Christmas special, the reason I want to talk about it, this is also kind of what we were talking about last week with Christmas music. It invokes something in me.
Mm-hmm.
Memories. And I don't even think it's necessarily memories of when I watched it, but even within the special itself, some of the things that they talk about or they do feels very reflective of my own life, like little things that I can relate to. As I've told you before, you know, you go travel to your family's house or what have you, and it just seems like these big Christmas gatherings like you see in the movies. I can't relate to that because I don't know that. Now, granted, John is traveling to his house, like to his family's house, but it's an old country farm where I grew up.
Sure.
Coming to the grandparents' house, or you know, that would be the same thing where I grew up. Everything about it just has a sense of familiarity to it. The chores, the setting, even just the way they kind of describe, well, kind of what we said last week, where it was the anticipation of Christmas, you know, and you're just excited, you know, and you just...
It's still fun and magical.
Yeah. So when I watch that, I guess there's a lot of nostalgic qualities that kind of come back. Mm-hmm. And even relating to not just what's going on in there, but it also is invoking memories from the past. Remembering watching it and it being like a cold day or cold evening or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you're wrapped up and you're just, you're finding joy in this 20-minute little cartoon. And I don't know. Yeah. It's just, that's what it does to me.
Sure. I mean, hey, you don't got to explain it. It is what it is. You liked it. Has a good memory for you. It's good enough.
But even in saying that, I would genuinely recommend this to anybody who, like, I feel like Garfield is one of those characters that everyone can kind of, I can't think of anybody who just hates Garfield for being a cat. I know he's a little bit one note.
Is there a controversy on Garfield?
Well, there's going to be because there's a new movie coming out, and guess who's voicing Garfield?
I have no idea.
Chris Pratt. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Chris Pratt.
Why is he getting so much voiceover work?
Beats me.
For all these, like, big people. I know. I don't know. I don't want to open that can again with Chris Pratt. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah, we've discussed that.
But, I mean, I'm not saying that you have to be a huge, like, you have to like Garfield. But I don't feel like he's a character that is just despised. Like, oh my God, I just hate Garfield. Like,
yeah, if you don't... I can't think of any controversy that he would really...
Yeah.
Like, it's just a fat cat. Yeah, maybe we're body shaming him. Maybe that's what it is these days, though.
Yeah, it might be. We're going to see Slim Garfield at some point, and then it's going to completely...
But then we're going to get upset because we're just making the skinny people happy now or something. I don't know. Like, we've divided ourselves into this. Why is everything always built for them? He was just as healthy and... Sorry, I need to shut up before I get in trouble.
It's the ridiculousness of it all.
Yeah. It really is, yeah. There's a way to go about it, and we're not doing it right. That's all I'm saying.
True. But when we go back to this whole thing, I wouldn't say it's necessarily about Garfield. I mean, you kind of get to know John's family and get to know a little bit more about him. And I think that's what I like about it. There's just a lot going on, and all the pieces are working in just the right ways. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know how else to explain it. It's just like his family are so well-rounded in their own ways that it just accentuates the entire special. Because they could, like, I've watched the Thanksgiving one, and I don't feel like it's as strong as this one. because you don't really get a lot of character development in this. It's a very simple.
But you would think Thanksgiving's like the more suited holiday for Garfield.
Yeah, you would think so.
Honestly, just all the food and stuff like that. Yeah.
But I mean, he does kind of start the entire special with a song. Well, I say a song, but do you remember Lou Rawls used to do like these songs for all of these specials? It was always like you would expect that as soon as the Garfield special came on, it's a time for Garfield to do his Christmas thing, and you know that's what you'd get.
Yeah,
or whatever the song may be. Because I know in this one, it's a very catchy little song because it starts off with him having a dream. And one of the jokes in this bit, it's a simple thing. You know, the simple things that bring me joy. So he's dreaming that John is just presenting him with these breakfast lasagnas and taking him to his tree. And it's Christmas Day and everything's decorated. And he's just all excited. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know what today is. And he's like, that's right. It's Christmas. And here's your present. And he brings out this big machine. And you put the hat on, and it's whatever you think of, the machine will give you.
Okay.
And this is Garfield's dream, thinking like, oh, of course, that would be great. Right. And then John comes over, and he's like,
lasagna for life.
Yeah, you think something like that. So John comes over, and he sits down, and he's like, here, let me show you. He puts it on, and he pops out he's in an elf outfit, keep that in mind, without a hat. So when he's sitting on the chair, he wishes up a hat to go with his outfit. And he's like, see? Neat.
Yeah.
Garfield, in an instant, the moment that happens, pushes him clear out of the seat as hard as possible. And that is one of the things that brings me the most joy out of it, is just how quick the whole thing is. And he's like, let me try that. Just kicks him square out, pops it in. And of course, what does he do? Jewels and just riches. And he's like,
that's just for starters.
And then that's where you get the whole big opening. I don't know the lyrics, but I know the tune.
I was going to say that's B for like a lot of songs. Yeah, it goes da 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 da. You don't know that one? Yeah.
But Lou Rawls, again, he's got that deep, sensuous voice. He's singing, gimme, gimme, yeah. And that's how you start a Garfield special. It always had to have him singing a song.
Okay.
Almost guaranteed. That's the only way I even knew who he was. You know, it's like, Lou Rawls, that's the guy that sings in the Garfield cartoon.
Garfield, man. Yeah. Well, I mean, at that age, you know.
But if you're also unfamiliar with Garfield, or at least, I guess we'd call him classic Garfield at this point. Because there have been new iterations, there have been new animated series that I have never watched. You got new people doing the voice.
Like CGI movies too, right? Wasn't there?
With Bill Murray doing. Now this is something I'm sure people have pointed this out. Some smarter people out there have already done this, but for those who might be uninitiated, Lorenzo Music was the man who did the voice of Garfield. If I heard his voice in anything, I immediately think Garfield. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know if he was putting like that was his voice straight out, or if he was kind of accentuating it, but I genuinely feel like that was his voice. I've never seen a video clip of the man in person speaking, but I would imagine that was his voice.
I didn't really prepare. I read some of the Garfield books. There were three at the time. And I just realized that I understand this cat, and I am this cat.
But he did the voice of Peter Venkman in the Real Ghostbusters TV show, which is a character played by Bill Murray in the movies, who also did the movie version of Garfield.
Interesting. It's like a 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon
situation.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, just interesting. So apparently, I guess people thought they sounded a lot alike.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But close enough. But I feel like he only did the show up until his death, because I feel like he died in the early 90s. I'm almost positive of that.
Yeah,
then that would have been about the thing that canceled Garfield for a while.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. The Not something bad.
Right. Yeah. Well, back then it was just called Wrapping It Up, I think.
But he was the primary voice of Garfield. They didn't have him. That was the other thing I loved about these shows, or this the way they did it. as a kid, I didn't quite understand it at first because his mouth would never move. And then I eventually pieced it together. It's like, oh, he's just thinking everything. He's not talking to anybody. He's just thinking it. Because you kind of see that you hear the voice, you hear, or John's in the room. So you kind of think maybe he's talking to John, but he's not, because if you pay attention to a lot of the way the conversations go down, he just says something and then John reacts like, well, I guess this is
what's happening. Yeah, he's not hearing anything, right? Yeah. Like John's not, he's legit just talking to his cat.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I love
think that. I realized that later on. Like, but again, as a kid, I'm like, they're having conversations. So I never really picked up on the fact that they weren't really reacting to what was being said from Garfield,
even though there are episodes at times where you wonder how this is happening, you know, because it seems like there's a conversation. Like, there's this one episode I remember very clearly where they were having, like, something happened in the house, some food exploded or whatever, and, you know, it was this one of those episodes where someone has a version of the story, this person has a version of the story, and then it's somewhere in the middle is the truth.
The game of telephone, yeah.
And he would just be like, it was Garfield's fault. And then Garfield would just kind of be marching around like, oh, you fibber. And you're like, who are you talking to? He's probably talking to the mailman, but who are you talking to? I guess you're talking to us something. I don't know. It's just the way it was kind of.
How you ever ranted to yourself like that motherfucker?
Yeah. So something to that effect. But anyway, he's not talking to anybody. He's talking to. Of course, I guess he talks to Odie. You know,
oh,
I guess
true.
Odie can understand.
Maybe they can talk to each other telepathically. I don't know.
Now, Odie, I didn't realize this until a lot later. Greg Berger is the guy that does the voice of Odie. And if you go through his filmography, the man is like a voice talent. And I would have never in a million years thought this was the man doing Odie. Like, I know him from different things. I've seen him in movies. I've heard his voice in so many things. I think he's done a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, as far as voice acting. But Odie, would not have picked him out of a lineup if you'd have told me he was the one doing Odie's voice. I would have been like, what?
What?
Like, yeah, it was just that kind of surprising. But even the guy that does John, now that's the other thing, too. I don't think he's ever done anything else. His name is Tom. I'm going to assume his last name is Huge. Because that's how it's spelled. If it's not Huge, H-U-G-E, Huge, Tom Huge. I'm going to think that's how you say it. But he has never done anything else.
Was he born in America?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then maybe it is Huge.
He was actually the a fraternity buddy of Jim Davis, the guy that created Garfield. So this is probably why he was the voice of
John. Only thing he did. Yeah, he's like, I'm not interested in this, but they probably like riffed in college or something, this voice back and forth. He's like, dude, you have to be my Garfield. Yeah.
And
John, you were
John,
saying
John. Yeah. And it kind of makes you wonder if I have no idea if this is the case, but it genuinely makes you wonder if he is not John Arbuckle, like in real life, like Jim saw it.
Yeah. You know, it could be. I've heard, especially if that's the only thing he's really done, that could be what it was based off of.
Yeah. I don't know that for a fact. Like I said, I'm just speculating.
That could be, though. Yeah.
But, I mean, even if you kind of look at some of the very limited amount of information on his IMDb, he's been married 3 times. And John Arbuckle is no ladies' man who's always having trouble with women.
That is true. Some, might have pulled some inspiration from there.
Again,
for sure, yeah.
Don't know that for a fact. Just speculating on my part. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
But
have you seen a picture of him?
I haven't.
Maybe we should look that up.
We're gonna have to.
We're gonna have to see, because if it's got brown hair and all that, so we'll be like, all right.
Yeah. There he is. But no, the special is very simple. I know we keep deviating a little bit, but they after they start. The big opening with the presents and everything, then we come back to reality, and it kind of plays out the same way in a little bit. You know, John comes up and he wakes up Garfield, but he's much quieter about it, and he's like, hey, Garfield, come on, we gotta go, we're gonna go to the farm and we're gonna just have fun and, you know, get to see the family. And Garfield's just like, I don't care. He's just like, I just want to lay here and sleep, but whatever.
Typical lazy Garfield. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then they next thing you know, they're out on the road, they're having a little song about everything. And even that song, that I think that's one of the things that kind of invokes certain things, is some of the way he describes Christmas at home. You know, I feel like I have those related.
Well, it was on a farm, right? So there you go. Yeah.
And just how he describes it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you just think about it and like, yeah. You know, you feel it. Mm-hmm. And
very
I don't
relatable.
Know. That, yeah. So they get there, you get to meet his family. His family is all sorts of just different types, but familiar types, at least for me. John's mom reminds me of an aunt that I have who is very, I don't want to say passive. I don't want to mean like she will just roll over for everything, but she seems carefree. You know, nothing really bothers her. She's like, whatever. Yeah. And his mom is kind of in that same vein. She's like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's okay. It'll be fine. It'll
very
be
chill
fine.
People.
Yeah. She's down to earth. His dad, on the other hand, seems like that old kind of, like I would kind of see a lot of my grandfather in him. Maybe he's not as, my grandfather was probably not as chatty as, as his dad, but just something about, you got the overalls, just, you know, hey there, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And just seems like just an old-fashioned old man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I think of. Now, his brother, Doc Boy, who I don't know if this is a deep cut for some people. David Landers, I don't know if anyone would know who he is today because he was best known as Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley. And he has a very distinct voice. It's almost like he's a bit nasally. You know?
Looking at him, I'm like, he looks familiar, but I don't know that I remember his voice sounding like that. Interesting.
We are going to take that gorgeous hunk of horse flesh hanging around in your bedroom and join him up to the rodeo.
Yep.
Well, I might
unless
not
I'm
be
looking
doing
at the
that.
Wrong person, David no. L. Lander.
No, that's him.
Oh, okay.
But he has this kind of, I mean, when he's doing his voices on the cartoon, it might be a little bit more accentuated, you know?
Gotcha.
But it's a lot like this. I might even have to do a voice comparison so people can hear it. He's like, don't call me Doc Boy. And you may have forgotten I'm your only brother.
Don't call me Doc Boy. And you've probably forgotten I'm your only brother.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, okay.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, he's got a long history. He's been around a while. Yeah, good for him. Good for him.
But the best character of the entire lot is the grandmother. Now, they never specified whose mom it is, and I'm going to assume it's the mom's mom, even though they don't say that for certain, but you kind of get that dynamic from the, you know, like the father or the John's dad kind of seems like she's, there she is. There's the old bat. He doesn't feel like he has that connection, but the mom, on the other hand, kind of feels like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't specify. They just say she's the grandmother. I didn't know this as a kid. This is another one of those things I learned growing up. Or as I got older, but the voice of Grandma, Pat Carroll, was the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid. And I never connected those dots.
Huh. Well, if they're a good voice actor, I guess you probably wouldn't, right? Because they've got an arsenal of voices.
Yeah. And she's been doing voices for quite a while. She's done a lot of television. I mean, her filmography and everything goes
very
way
long.
Back. Yeah. I don't think she's still with us anymore, but Pat Carroll, she's a delight, and I've seen her in a lot of stuff. Just didn't realize it at the time, but when you go back and look at her filmography, it's like, oh yeah.
Start right, like, really? And all of those? Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But as I was kind of mentioning with this, there's nothing to this special in any, like, they don't overcomplicate it. You know what I mean? And I think that's one of the things I love about it, because when John gets there, he says hello to everybody. You kind of get to know the characters kind of quickly. You know, you see the mom being the passive one. You see the dad just kind of being, you know, a level-headed guy. Doc Boy kind of seems, since he's the little brother, he seems like a jerk or anything like that. He just seems a little brotherish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like there's
like
just something
pest.
About it. Yeah, like you get it.
Annoying, yeah.
And then Grandma, she seems a little defensive, you know? She's just like, but she also seems very lighthearted about everything because she comes up to John. She's like,
what's this, John? I see you're putting on a little belly. Is that city life making you soft? Oh, you're getting soft, boy. You need to get more physical. Take me. I do 100 sit-ups every morning. My belly is hard as a rock. Come on, hit me right here. Give me your best shot.
Grandma, you remember Garfield, don't you?
Right?
And
change the subject. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That dynamic kind of comes into play, and I think it leans toward one of the better moments in the show where you see Garfield, he's not 100% sure. Like, she's like, oh, hey, a cat. I like it. And Garfield's like, okay, I'm not sure. But then as he gets to know Granny, he's like, okay, I like her. And he eventually goes to her, like, in the evenings and stuff like that. And there was even a scene as they're kind of doing a Christmas decorating, which I don't... All right, so here's a tradition I've never seen in Christmas.
Okay.
Growing up where I did, or anything like that, my family has never done this, but maybe we've had this discussion, I don't know. Putting the Christmas tree up night of.
Night of, no.
I've never seen that, no. But they
you mean like Christmas Eve? Or Christmas
Eve. You decorate the tree and everything, Christmas Eve. Yeah, everyone I've ever known has done it long
at least
before.
Like a couple of weeks, because it's such a pain in the ass. You don't want it to be up for just like a day or two, you know.
But I'm almost positive they went out. That I could be misremembering this, but I feel like they had went out that day, got a tree, like chopped one down, and then they decorated
that. Could be
it
a tradition for
evening.
Some people, though. Yeah, they did it that day. Interesting. I feel like all the trees would be gone. I don't know.
You think so? Yeah, but I guess if you live where they are,
that's what they do. They sell them on Christmas Eve, and I guess what choices do you got?
Okay, so here's a question: did you ever have like real trees, or
not until the first Christmas I spent with the Hubs?
Okay,
and we weren't married yet, but it was like our first place that we lived together in. And his family always did real trees, so we got a real tree that year, and then never again. So I've had it once in my life. My mom always did a fake one, and we just put it back in the box at the end of the year and stuffed it in there. But she loved her tinsel too, so you know, we found out you can't really recycle that stuff in the tree. It makes it probably best that she didn't get real ones. But I wish though. It smelled so nice. It was great.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my parents used to do real trees. There was I remember real trees up to a certain point somewhere in my childhood where they stopped and we went with the artificial one. But I have very specific memories of the tree. They had a little pot on the bottom. Mm-hmm. They had kind of had it screwed in.
Yep.
And you had to make sure you had it right, otherwise it's going to tip. So
and
had
I had a
sure
cat,
had it.
So it was hilarious. Oh, they loved to drink out of it. And of course, you know, as the month goes on, the ornaments get higher up on the tree, higher up on the tree, higher up on the tree. Yeah, because like they're breaking everything.
Yeah, damn cats.
Yeah, I should have known. Because it was a real tree. The cat was like, this is great, and was up in it all the time. I'm like, well.
Hmm. But the having that, the smell. For sure.
Smell was great.
Oh, my God. Just that, the pine.
It really did smell nice. And then a Christmas pine. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So I would love to do that again, but I understand that there's a lot of work involved because then you got to dispose of the tree. Mm-hmm. We also do have a cat, so I could definitely see her.
Do you have a fireplace?
We do, but we don't
use
it. Is
it fire? Oh, I was going to say, I don't know if you can burn pine that way. I don't know which ones are like safer inside or not, but it was like maybe you could just chop it up for firewood then.
That's
after
true, yeah.
You know, if you don't put tinsel and stuff all over it. I don't know what you like to decorate with, but
now as a kid, tinsel used to be one of those things that was common. I don't think we've ever done tinsel, but as a kid that was almost a guaranteed thing.
Maybe it was that generation.
Might have been,
because I was gonna say my mom probably mom and dad would have been probably your parents' age. You know?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So maybe I think it was just because all the fake trees. I thought she was just trying to fill in the gaps. So you hang the tinsel and it looks like it was a little bit more full, you know, because each year it got more smashed. So you're sitting there trying to like rebend the branches back out so they look full.
Did you ever do the popcorn strands?
No. Yeah, we never did like the food and stuff. She did get the garland, the tinsel. We had lights, of course. And then regular bulbs, and then whatever the topper was, usually a star. We never usually had an angel, but it would be another one that lit up that you would, you know, plug in the top, and then that's it. I don't even remember doing a skirt.
Yeah, we did a skirt. I'm almost positive. Yeah, even with the real tree.
Yeah.
See, now I just want a real tree just so I can smell it in the house.
There you go. You know, your daughter might love it. You know, she's never had a real tree. I don't know. I just knew it was a lot of work. And I'm a Scrooge these days, so I don't care about going through all of that just for a night or two. And that's since true. We're never here on Christmas, I never decorate the house.
And that's understandable, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't feel like taking it down, so why put it up?
But yeah, so... In the special, they did have this one evening where it was just like after they had their dinner, they then sat down for, they decorated the tree after dinner. Then after that, they did
candy canes. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't hang those two.
Then they did like a song. The song is actually where it kind of gets a little sad. But I feel like this is one of the stories that you can kind of relate to, you know, because... As they're kind of playing the song, and it's just like this kind of slow Christmassy tune, Garfield walks over to the granny, and she's just kind of in a rocking chair, just staring out the window, and he hops up in her lap like a cat would, and she just starts petting him. But as she's petting him, she's confessing some things, because she just talks about how this time of year is hard for her, because this is when she lost her husband, and her husband was... Like, this was his favorite time of the year, and every time it comes around, she's reminded of that. She remembers him. She remembers all that stuff, and it really gets to you. Like, you're kind of with her. At least I am, you know, because I'm hearing it, and it's just like, yeah, I could see where you could have that struggle, you know, because everyone else is just celebrating, and this brings back something hard. So it could be a difficult scenario and situation. So that's one of those scenes in the whole thing that I feel like is played super genuine, and I appreciate it because they don't try to undercut it with anything. You just hear this woman who trying to be as positive as she can around everybody else, but at the end of the day, she's kind of hurting inside. And they at least do kind of find a way to bring it back around, because Garfield is trying to do, you know, nice things for everybody. And
for a change.
For a change.
Yeah.
And he happens to find some letters that her husband had written her, like the grandmother's husband had written her years ago. And he finds them out in an old box in a barn. And he saves them for her Christmas present, as it were. And kind of brightens her day, because it's like these old love letters from back when they were courting and stuff like that. And they even make a joke about that. Like, John's just like, "What is it, Grandma?" And he's like, "It's nothing for you." It's like, a woman does not talk about her personal life.
Maybe. Right, right. Yeah, yeah. You probably don't want to hear this one anyway, son.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Remember that time up under the... No, Granny. Nope.
I'm sorry I asked. Yep.
But there were some other little bits that I kind of glazed over. I kind of bounced, but that was kind of connect a dot. There was the dinner scene, which... This is where Garfield, you know, obviously this is where he gets to shine.
This is my, where I win. Yeah.
So his mom, now I can't say that my mom was ever like this, or I know anybody like this in general, but John's mom is a chronic cooker. There is always, John says, there's always too much food, which Garfield would disagree, but she makes everything. So, like, he's asking, he's like, what do you want? And she's like, do you want turkey? You want ham? You want chicken? You want this? And he's like, Mom, that's way too much. She's like, so what about potatoes? And she's like, do you want mashed, sweet, stewed, baked? And he's like, oh, my God, pies, 5 or 6 different pies. And she's like, God damn. So as all this is being, you know, everyone's kind of eating, and you see the granny just kind of slipping stuff under the table. And she's feeding Garfield and Odie up under the table.
Yeah.
And then by the time everyone's done, John's like, hey, Garfield, you want some, you know, leftovers? He's like, there's plenty to eat. And he's like, oh, no, thank you. I'm watching my waistline this year. But he's already stuffed to the gills. And the story, after they had kind of done the little song, after the granny had her story, they found a way to kind of bring the room back up. And it was telling the story of Binky the Clown Saves Christmas. And what I always find joyful about this is like a memory that I always have is, for whatever reason, my dad thought this scene was the funniest shit ever. And oh, yeah? I don't know why. I don't know what it was about this bit.
Something in his past that's reminding him of, but he doesn't want to quite tell you about, maybe, but it's hilarious.
I genuinely think there's a bit of relatability to it because the dad, you know, the kids are just like, hey, why don't you read, Binky the Clown Saves Christmas? He's like, do I have to read that this year? You guys are grown. What are you, like, why are we doing this? He's like, come on, it's a tradition. Come on.
Yeah.
And then even the brothers, you know, John and Doc Boy is like,
yeah, let's see if Binky saves Christmas again this year.
Do this little laugh. Mm-hmm. He's like, what do you do on?
What is this inside secret here? Is probably what's going on. Some inside joke.
And they do. They just kind of play into it. And I think that's also probably something that he's found. Because it is humorous. Because, again, they're two grown men.
Sure. Yeah.
And their father is reading this children's story to them. And even at the end of it, they're like, oh, man, I was getting pretty worried. I didn't think it was going to happen again. It's like, what are you doing?
Just getting into it. Leave me alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is how I have fun.
So I genuinely think that there's some... To see grown men acting that way, I think that's part of it. Because even later on, as they are going to bed, or like, it's supposed to be bedtime. Everyone's going to sleep, and Christmas is happening. John and Doc Boy wake up in the middle of the night, like around 2 a.m., and they're just like, hey, is it time to open presents yet? And their dad's like, what are you doing up? It is 2 a.m. Go back to sleep. And he's like, well, you know, technically it is Christmas morning. And he's like, go to bed.
Yes. This is too early. Try 4 more hours at least. I don't know.
That to me is probably the most relatable. And just, I enjoy it so much because the father is just done. He's like, no, absolutely not. Go back to bed. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, it is Christmas morning. You know, I know that. And you know that.
Why is he so cranky? One day a year. This is why we hate the holidays as adults.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, why do we got to go through all this crap? Yeah.
But, just those little things like that. And then there was even the bit where Odie kind of did like a little, he made a present for Garfield. He made him a little back scratcher.
I'm telling you what, man, those are great gifts. Something you'll use forever. I have one on my desk here. It'll never leave. And it was a stocking stuffer. See, that's how I ended up with it. The Even only better. Stocking stuffer I probably kept that I can think of in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's really nothing more to it than that. I mean, it was just kind of getting to see how they spent a Christmas at the Arbuckle house. And
well, and I mean, wasn't there like a lesson learned about how Garfield got so heartwarmed and gave like Odie a really nice present also? Like, wasn't there some underlying like Garfield learns kind of the...
Well,
am I thinking of something else?
Like, well, no. I mean, I think it was in that there was a moment of knowing, I guess, because he got the gift from Odie, and he was all excited and gave Odie a big hug, and everybody's like, aw. And then he gives the letters to the granny and whatever, and she kind of has her moment. So after all that, then Garfield's like, okay. And he's talking to no one. But he acts like he's got an announcement he's going to tell everybody. But he's just talking to us because the people are just like, what's the cat doing?
All the adults here is meow, meow, meow. Yep.
That would be fun. We got to make that clip now. We got to see how Garfield sounds to to the humans.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be, right?
Get him, Garfield.
But he just comes up and he's like,
Christmas. It's not the giving. It's not the getting, it's the loving. There, I said it. Now get out of here.
There's always got to be a moral.
Yeah.
You know, like, what did we learn today?
And then they do a big country twang. Bow, 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 bow. Here's a big Christmas hat down on the farm. A little overeating won't do you any harm. That's all I remember.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And then that's it. There's nothing more to it.
And then they're off. Well, I mean, it's not that long, right?
No.
So,
it's about like this episode right now. Yeah. I mean, there's really nothing to it, but it's such a, I don't know. It just brings back so many little things for me. For such a 20-minute cartoon, it invokes so many little emotions in me. You know?
And a lot of good memories around it.
And I think, and I really hate to say it like this, but there are just certain things that, as I get older, I feel like I relate more to things that didn't used to bother me as a kid. Here's a great example. I don't want to, do I want to talk about that? Because I was going to hang on to that. All right, I'm going to be vague.
Okay.
I want to bring that up later.
Okay.
But I was watching a movie the other day, and I've seen that movie 100 times, you know, when I was younger. Saw it so many times. Never had emotional reaction. Mm-hmm. I watched it again, hadn't seen it in a while, but I remembered a scene. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was coming. But whatever it was, today, it hit me on an entirely different emotional level because I think I can relate more to what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Like, what would I be doing in that situation? Would I be acting the same way? And I genuinely think I would. And therefore, I related to the character and his pain, and it got me emotional. And next thing I know, I didn't even realize I sniffed like that.
Aww, yeah.
And then Katrina looked over, she's like, "You okay?" And I'm like, "Yep, I'm good."
Aww.
And I couldn't help it, but it was just like, so now.
Well, a lot of things that you don't understand as a child, too.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, there's a lot of that. Now it hits you home.
So the same with this. Like I said, I feel like as I've gotten older, everything in this just brings something back that I can relate to, and I see it clearly, and I just, it brings me, I don't know, a little bit of comfort and joy. And I highly recommend this, even if you can't relate to it in the same ways that I'm describing. But I still feel like it's,
holds
up. Good 20 minutes of just some fun little holiday nothing. I mean, it's not a complicated special by any means. When you really break it down, it's just watching John go home and spend Christmas Eve with his parents. And then wake up Christmas morning and that's that. And yet his grown...
A day in the life of.
His grown brother. I still don't understand this. I really have to figure out like how old Doc Boy is. Uh-huh. And then how old John is for that matter. Because John is living out in the city on his own with his cat. So he has to be in his 20s, if not older. He seems like he would be somebody in his 30s. Just saying.
I would think, like from what I would remember as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, middle adult. Yeah, a little.
That's what I would assume. Mm-hmm. A man in his late 20s, early 30s, maybe, possibly, sure. Maybe a little older. I don't know. But his brother does not look to be, like, if you look at the flashback that they did, his, like, John was maybe 4 or 5, and his brother was maybe 1, okay? So maybe like a 3 or 4 year age gap between them. That's how it seemed. That's what I saw in the flashback. That's what I interpreted.
That's what you were selling me on, yeah.
But then you see his grown-ass brother in the end with these bunny rabbit pajamas and playing with toys. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, that's the one thing that just always bothers me. Because I'm like, because I've been in that situation. There was a time, I think, when I was 13 or 14, when we went up to my grandparents' house to get our Christmas presents. And it's me and my brother, okay? So we're about 3 years apart. So he's 16, I'm 13. Mm-hmm. My grandmother comes out, gives him a bottle of cologne, and then hands me this big plastic airplane toy. And I'm just sitting here staring at it like, how old do you think I am?
Yeah, like, what do I want
like,
this?
I don't want to be disrespectful and ungrateful, but I'm sitting here thinking, I am not a child. And you were giving me a child's toy.
Not
what is going on?
Man. Sorry.
Yeah, I just, it kind of hit me wrong because I was so confused. I was like, why am I getting a child's toy?
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening here. But
when they don't realize the age you are anymore.
Clearly not.
You liked this one a little while ago. I was small. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you'd have given me that 3 or 4 years ago, you know, maybe. But we're kind of beyond that now, so.
Yeah, right.
I didn't say anything. I took it home and set it off in a corner. And
at least you were brought up that way. You know, I've seen it go the other way before, where I've just sat there and watched, and like you could see the disappointment on their faces, and then throw this huge fit, like that's not what I asked for. And I was like, oh my God, I would have never, in a million years. Well, firstly, gotten away with that.
Sure.
But it would have never even crossed my mind. Like, it was always just like, thank you. And then if I never touched it, fine, you know?
Sure.
Wow. Yeah. Well, kids are built different these days. You're not supposed to lie, you know?
Yeah.
Well, be grateful, though.
Grateful. Yeah, there's you a know, difference.
You didn't have to get anything. Well, sure. I may as well not have. Well, then fine. I won't get you anything anymore. How's that?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never understood that, and I would slap the shit out of somebody who... That's just, I know, old way of thinking.
I know, old school.
But I can't help it.
Yeah.
But I really don't have anything else to talk about with this because I was just wanted to reminisce about it. There's not a lot to it, but.
And you can go watch it now.
Yeah, go watch it now on Peacock or wherever
Peacock,
you can find it.
I guess.
If you have Peacock. You could, I'm sure you could get it for, like, there's a 7-day free trial or something. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just saying there's a possibility that you could find that somewhere and be like, hey, start Peacock right now for 7 days for free. And then $9.99 after that.
Yeah. And then set an alarm on your phone or something to remind you to cancel the day before you'd get charged.
That's true.
Because I would totally forget. And I have signed up for things that way before. Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm still paying for Apple TV, because it's so hard.
Set your alarm now.
Well, it's not even that. It's just canceling it just in general. You have to go through iTunes. You can't do it online. The way they set the whole thing up is ridiculous.
They want it to be hard for you to cancel.
Oh, they have made it difficult. They're just like, you have to download this app, and then you have to go through here, and then you have to unlock this account, and then you got to do that. It's like, why can't you just have a website where I can cancel it?
Well, again, to make it hard, because like even if you call your internet, insert whichever ISP you have here, you can order new service online. You can have these things sent to your home online. Try to cancel. Can you do that online? No, you got to call. You know how long it's going to take you to sit on that phone call?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're banking on. You're going to give up and be annoyed. And it's worked on me, unfortunately. Yeah. And I don't know how it's legal. I feel like if you offer us to sign up online, we should be able to cancel online.
I agree.
But, I mean, they're probably paying off everybody to just keep on going anyway, because have you ever heard anyone be happy with their internet service? It's because they're owned by, like, three large corporations that don't give a crap because they know you don't have any options to go anywhere else. Monopolies! Yay!
Woo!
Anyway, for Christmas, capital. Well, I mean, it is capitalism, right? So there you go.
Capital C, baby.
That's what this holiday is anymore, so... Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Because, we're gonna let you guys go early.
Yes.
Since it is Christmas. But, if you did listen on Christmas Day, we highly appreciate it.
Thank you.
It just shows how much we're a part of your lives and your weekly routine. And you needed a little bit of us, and we were here for you.
Yes, and thank you. Yeah.
But we do want to kind of let you know that we finished out the year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take the month of January off, but we will be back on, hang on. I gotta
get out that calendar.
Gotta get out that calendar to be sure. We'll be back on February 5th.
Okay.
All new episodes. We're going to be ready to go. Hopefully we can do what we were planning to do when we started this whole thing before we fell apart, thanks to some crashed ass...
I was starting to, I was like, where are you going with this? Did I forget something? But no, yeah, there we go.
Our lost episodes.
I'm still
holding out hope. Now, I think to make it happen, I'm going to have to send this baby in and hope for the best that I'm not going to get charged so much money. But
just so you know, I probably did finally get rid of my copy when you said it was...
Well, I do still have them. I have them.
In
a folder marked lost episodes. So if one day there could be three episodes that are edited and put out into the world that are, we might not even tell you which ones they were.
I'm wondering if anything would be dated in those conversations. Be like, why are they talking about that now? Yeah, that happened like a year ago. I'd be like, you know what? I don't know.
Don't know. I mean, we could just cut it out, but... No, probably not. I try to do the best editing I can. I'm probably doing a lot better, doing more editing now than I used to, because I actually take the time to really thumb through it. And it's hard. It's hard to try and edit this sometimes when I'm doing other things, because That's what I try to do. I try to multitask with this. And then sometimes if I hear just, if there's a section of it where there's a lot of ums or pauses or coughs or whatever, I find myself listening and then going, damn it, I got to cut. And then, all right, move, go, play. And then I'll move back over to this thing. And then I'll hear another one. I'm like, ugh.
We can't have that many gaps, you and I.
No, we don't.
There just can't be. I don't believe it.
There's not. I feel like when I edit our stuff, there are times when I can just let it play and there's a good gap. But sometimes there's just little things that irk me, or I hear things, or I just want to scrub it out. I hear my lips smacking a bit every now and again, and I don't. I'm like, is my mouth really that dry? I don't hear it.
Do you need a Werther's? Get y'all hard candy.
You sound like, what's her name? Lily Tomlin doing that little girl. Edith Ann.
My name is Edith Ann, and I don't have to say nothing if I don't want, because I'm going to have a baby.
Oh, I forgot about that character. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. Aww, I'm going to have to talk about her sometime.
Yeah.
I love Edith Ann. But anyway, yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all of you out there. Whatever you celebrate, I hope you're enjoying your holiday, whatever it may be, doesn't matter. We do not discriminate.
It's just another Monday to you. Happy Monday, as I say every week.
Mm-hmm. We know we have some listeners all over the globe. That's what Spotify
that's
tells
us. Crazy. When I saw that, I was like, "Hey guys, hey!" You know, yeah.
Look so at those you. Of you again, if you don't celebrate Christmas, whatever your holiday is,
it's a good one.
It is a fantastic one. So. We will let you go. You know where to find us on the social medias. We'll come back in February. Gives us a nice respite and time to also prepare for a long road ahead for next year. And I hope you're ready. Because
all year. We're going to get it going, baby.
Links are all down below. Join us again when we return. But until then, be safe, be well, go beyond your limits.
This has been a Pencil and Paper Podcast Network production.